It's about homosexuality. It's about a sin that runs rapid in the world that we live in. And we want to take this study tonight, and I want you to know tonight that somebody that's living in a state of homosexuality can be born again. They can be saved. They can be forgiven. They can be restored by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we read this tonight, I want to study it, and I want to use what God uses here when you cross the line. Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 26, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And the Bible says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, with natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we don't skip over Scripture, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we learn and we study the Scripture. And as we study and we learn the Scriptures, child of God, we learn how to love people even in the sin that they're in. And Lord, tonight as we study a portion of your word, I pray tonight we get a better understanding of the sin that we see written here in the book of Romans. Lord, we realize tonight that there is a time in all of our lives when we can cross the line and go too far. Lord, tonight I believe by the authority of the Word of God that there comes a time in our life that when we leave this walk of life, if we're not born again, we've crossed the line. Lord, there is no hope once we take the final breath. Lord, there is no hope over yonder. Our hope, our faith, and our peace lies in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Not in our works, not in our righteousness, but in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray tonight that when an individual walks through them doors back there, that they feel the love of our Father when they walk into this place. Lord, tonight, guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Father, tonight, I ask you to study this Scripture for us. Speak it to our heart, speak it to our mind, and speak it to our soul. Father, I love you, I thank you, and I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Have your will and way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory you deserve. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Crossing the line, or cross the line. Here, Paul, under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, is urging and warning his people to be cautious about crossing over the line. Today, in the world we live in, we also see lines being crossed that has been drawn by the Word of God. Not only do we see here in this text that lines have been crossed, and we cross over them lines, but we see it all the way in the world that we live in. Folks, as we read the Word of God tonight, there's lines drawn in Scripture that we must not cross over. There's lines drawn in Scripture that we must not cross over. You're going to hear me say that many times tonight. When we cross over that line, I want you to know destruction, defeat, and failure is coming our way. Tonight, if you know of an individual tonight that has crossed the line, you say, what do I do, preacher? Do I give up on them? If I can give you anything, if you know somebody that's crossed the line, I wouldn't give up. Boy, I'd really get on it and start praying. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight I want you to know, you don't know and I don't know when that person has crossed the line. Tonight, if I told you that I knew that an individual had crossed the line and went too far tonight, I'd have to play God, and I'm not God. Amen? But tonight, as we read the Word of God, we do understand that there comes a time that the Bible said that God gave them up. What did He give them up to do? He gave them up to do what they wanted to do. They wanted it their way. They wanted to live the way they wanted to live. And here Paul comes into the book of Romans, talking to the people at Rome, and he tells them, I want you to know that this is serious business. And even in the world that we live in today, there's people that does not retain God in their knowledge. They don't retain God in their home. They don't retain God in their heart. They just don't retain God at all. And all they want to do is live it their way and do it their way. And if you'll see that sinful lifestyle that they live in, friends, I want you to know that that is displeasing to God, and it also is spitting in the face of God and God alone. When He lines up in this Word and He says, don't cross that line and don't go against what I've told you to do, you know what comes? Punishment comes. Hey, we look all the way in the Word of God and we see how people had done what God had told them not to do, and punishment come their way. We know about Achan when they went to Jericho there, and Achan had stole. You know what he did? Hey, God done knew his sin. Hey, when Joshua come to Achan, I want you to know, you know how Joshua knew that he had sinned? Because God knew. You know why God knows that, how people can see that we sin and that we live in a sinful state? It's because God knows. And when you take this Bible and you read the Word of God and you understand what sin is and how it displeases God, we realize that there's times in our life that we cross the line. And tonight I want to look into the Word of God tonight, and I want to look at only two things tonight about crossing the line. Number one tonight, I want to look at the cause for crossing the line. The cause for crossing the line. And if, as we look tonight in verse number 26, there's a cause for crossing the line. And tonight as we read that text, it says, for this cause. There it is. He said there's a cause for crossing that line. I don't know, always know why people cross over that line. You remember when you had a kid and they was little and you told them, don't touch that, don't do that. You ever had some kids you could tell them and they wouldn't cross the line? Some kids you could warn them and they wouldn't cross the line. Some kids are just got that in them. They wouldn't do it. You tell them it's hot and they won't touch it. Hey, but there's some of us, and can I get a witness tonight? I was that kid. If mama told me, don't you cross that line, I'd jump over it 3 or 4 times just to let her know that I was able to cross it. I thought what she meant was is I couldn't cross the line. I wanted to prove to her that I could cross the line. And in the world that we live in, there's so many people that are crossing the line and they're telling God, hey, I've went over the line and I've crossed the line of what you're telling me not to do, but I'm still alive. I'm not dead. You've not brought death to me. You've not brought destruction to me. You've not brought none of this my way. Hey, but I want you to know the Bible says that judgment is the Lord's. He says tonight that judgment's going to be given by God and God alone. And when that judgment comes, I want you to know when He pours His wrath out, it's going to be something that mankind cannot handle. And tonight we see in verse 26 the cause for the crossing the line. Look what they did here. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Number one, tonight when they crossed the line, they had vile affections. And we're talking about homosexuality here. That vile affection would be this. It would be they had a passionate desire or an evil craving. They had that passionate desire or that evil craving. They wanted to go against what they knew was right and do what was wrong. Hey, but we see not only in verse 26 where he says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the, look what he says, to change the natural use into that which is against nature. Number one tonight, we see when you cross the line, There's that vile affection, that passionate desire to do what is wrong. You know, some people, they fuel off living in a sinful state. Hey, the deeper they can get, the more they like it. The more misery they can put on you, the better they like it. The more pain they can put on you, the more they like it. And he says that vile affection, and you know why it's such vile and so wicked in that homosexuality state? It's because it's against nature. Friends, as we read in the Word of God, that it don't line up with nature, and it's not common. It's not common to man. It's not common to God, but it goes against nature and what God set up. He says here, when it's against nature, it goes against God's creation. Hey, I want you to know in the Bible that God said that he made man and woman. He made that for a reason. You know why? Because when two men get together, they can never be a reproduction made. When two women get together, they never can be a baby that'll come forth. God stayed in what he put in there. He put a man and woman together, that this world may multiply and that it be in his will. Friends, as we read the Word of God tonight, through their vile affections, and it's against nature, but look what he says here. And likewise also men leaving the natural use. Hey, not only was it a vile affection that caused for leaving, they had a passionate desire and it goes against God's creation, but they leaving the natural use. That leave that natural use would be to abandon, to get away from what they know was right, to get away from that area and get into a place that is dark and dangerous that they get in. Number one, we see here when they leave the natural use, to abandon, to reject, or to leave behind. And you say, preacher, what do they leave behind when they go down that road? I'd say to you tonight, they leave behind God's design. Amen? When they go down that road, they leave behind God's design. You say, what's that to me? We must warn them. Hey, they're going against God's design, and they need to get back in the fellowship of God. Get back where God is. Get back into his design. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 2. In verse number 24, I know this is not a common message tonight. Hey, but can I say to you, we're not living in a common time. Can I get amen? Hey, we're living in a desperate time. We're living in a time where we must warn people about the situation that they're living in. Friends, tonight as we get to this place, we see the vile affection. We see it's against nature. We see leaving the natural use. The man leaving the natural use of the woman, and the woman leaving the natural use of the man. You say, well, how is that God's design? Hey, when he made Adam, he said, you need a help meet. You need somebody that'll help you. And look what he says here in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 24. Look what the Bible says. Therefore shall a man. Oh man, I love that in the Bible. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Hey, I want you to know tonight when we get here, if you're shacked up and you're not married, you're living in a sinful state. You're living in a state that's not right, and you're living in a sinful state. If you shack up, that's a sinful state. I tell this to the married couples all the time. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Friends, I want you to know tonight, I tell them all the time, if they're shacked up, you've done cleaved and you done left and cleaved, and you ain't even got married yet. You ain't even done what God's told you to do. And as we read this Word of God, we understand the biblical principle of that. When you leave that home and you marry that spouse, God honors that. But when it's shacked up, God don't honor it. Friends, tonight when we live in that sinful state, God does honor it, does not honor it, and God will not bless a mess. He won't do it. He won't do it. He will not bless that mess that we live in. You know, I was lost, dying, going to a devil's hell. I'll never forget. I knew I was lost. I knew I was. But there's one thing I knew. I'm going to stop here. We're going to get back to what we was preaching on. But I just got to stop right here for a minute. God's on me. But I knew something. Even as a lost man, I knew shacking up with my wife was wrong. Before we got married. Hey, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. How did I know it was wrong? Because I didn't see a lot of people doing it back then. So I knew there was something up to what they was telling me and what they was talking about. And I needed to get married. Man, I wanted to get married. I had to find me a preacher. So I went and found me a preacher. And the first question he asked me was, he said, do y'all live together? I said, no, sir. Her daddy killed me and her both. No, sir, we don't live together. You know, my wife, I can't say we've always done what's right and always been perfect and always been this, because we haven't. But I do know this. I never seen her bedroom till I moved her out and moved her up on Mills Hill. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know the way we growed up, her daddy didn't let that stuff go on. Hey, you didn't lay around on his couch and you didn't lay around in them places. Hey, it was a standard in that home. Hey, even though they didn't go to church and we didn't go to church, hey, it was a standard in that home. And as we read the word here, we're talking about there's a cross for crossing the line. If I would have done something at that area in my life, I would have crossed the line. And you know what? What would have happened? Her daddy would have crossed the line with me. Can I get an amen? But we see here in the word of God, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto, he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They shall be one flesh in what God has called them to do. So we see the cause tonight of the vile affection. It's against nature and leaving the natural use. And he says here tonight, as we keep going on down, the cause of it, it's unseemingly tonight. You can't add it up, it won't add up, and it won't get where it needs to be. Look what he says here. He says, as we read into the word of God tonight, he said, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, it burned in their lust one toward another, when men working that which is unseemly. It is not right. They work that shameful, unfit, and it's indecent. When you see that going on in the world we live in, and you see what's going on, it don't even seem right. You can't make it right. And when you see that, you must. What does it do to you? What does it do to me? It shows us the shape that our world's in. And you say, preacher, what should you do? Should you just let it go on? Should you just be okay with it? Should you be whatever you should be? We should love them individuals, because I want you to know they have a soul. Amen? We should love them. We should love them individuals. And we should pray for them individuals. We should love them and we should pray for them. Look what he says here. He said there is a cause for crossing the line. And I wrote this down and put it in big old print. There is a high price for sinful living. There's a high price tag for sinful living. You don't believe me, there's a high price tag for sinful living. The only thing that will cleanse that sin is what happened on the cross of Calvary through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sinful living has a high price tag. But I've seen something in this text tonight and I want to share it with you. Number one, we see the cause for crossing the line. The cause. That vile affection, it's against nature. That's the cause. Why is it wrong, preacher, doing this? It's against nature. Leaving the natural. It's unseemly. You can't make it right. And the second thing tonight I want to show you, number one, cause for crossing the line. Number two, there's corruption for crossing the line. When you cross the line, there's corruption that comes. All the way across the board. I don't care what you do. I don't care if it's homosexuality. I don't care what it is. When you cross the line and you went too far, corruption comes to that home and it comes to that individual. And I want to give you this tonight. Number one, tonight, it'll corrupt the character of a person. It'll corrupt the character of a person. You ever seen somebody, man, that was a good old boy. That was a good old girl. That was a good old, you ever heard that? And as they walk down that line, and the deeper they get into that sin, deeper they get into that darkness, you know what? It starts corrupting their character. Look what he says here in the book. I want to show you this with you tonight. He says, and even as they did not, in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not, what? Which are not convenient. When you get to this place and you've been turned over to a reprobate mind, you do not have the ability to discern evil. Once you get to that place, you have not the ability to discern evil, you'll fall for anything. The further you get in sin, you'll fall for anything. The further deeper you go into sin, folks, I want you to know tonight, you'll fall for things you never thought you'd fall for. You'll do things you thought you'd never do. You'll do them things. Hey, it ain't long. It's a little social drink here. It's a little social drink there. It's a little talking in this one's there. It's a little talking in that one's there. So it's just a little friendly text, just a little friendly gesture. And next thing you know, it's deeper, 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 deeper. And Paul says, you'll fall for anything. Hey, when you get to that place and you get where you can't discern evil, and evil doesn't really matter no more to you, and you can't see how dark it is, you know what? You'll fall for anything. Anything that comes your way, you'll fall for it and you'll fall victim to that. So Paul's saying here, he said, if I can give you anything, don't cross the line. Don't cross over that line that God's drawn in the sand. Don't you cross over that. You stay on this side of what God has called you to do. We stay on this side. Let me show you this in the text. He said when we cross the line, it'll do something. It'll corrupt the character of a person. Look what he says. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Being filled with all unrighteousness. That character's been corrupted. They've been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Look at there. All unrighteousness, fornication. He said this that you'll fall for. Not only you'll start out with unrighteousness, but you'll start out with fornication. Fornication is what that is. Sexual desire, sexual immorality, sexual desires of doing things that's not right, living in a way that's not right, sex before marriage, things that are not right. He said it won't be long. You'll start falling for these things. He said, get away. Get away from these things. Stay with what God's called you to do. Stay with what God's called you to do. He says tonight it'll corrupt the character of a person by all unrighteousness, fornication. Let me give you this. Look on down here. Not only that, but pride. Pride. Pride comes with it. When your character starts being corrupted, you get prideful. You get prideful. You care less. I care less what the preacher says. Let me give you this one. It's even better than that. I care less what the Bible says. Well, the Bible says, I care less what the Bible says. What about your sin? You see, they'll start, you get what I'm saying? Why? Because their character is being destructed. It's being eroded away. It's just washing away at the foot. And it's washed away. Look what he says here. He says it's all unrighteousness, fornication, pride, maliciousness. Nothing satisfies. The deeper you get in sin, what used to satisfy you a little, now it ain't enough. What used to be enough? Just a little looking at whatever you looked at. Just a little bitty text. Just a little bitty drink. Just a little bit of not, for long that don't even satisfy. A little bit no longer satisfies. When you cross in the line, once you cross the line, what was back there don't satisfy no more. You want more. You want it darker. You want it more vicious than ever. And I know that for a fact in here, and y'all do too. When you've crossed the line, it's hard to get back over. You don't believe me? Drive you a dump truck loaded up with dirt on it, Brother David Barnes. Get off the road, off the shoulder of the road. Is it easy to get back on? No. What are you doing long? You're going to wreck if you ain't careful. If you don't slow down, get control of what you're doing, and get it brought back up on that road, it won't be long. You're going to have a destruction that you can't handle. You're fixing to tear everything up. And what Paul's saying here is, he said, I want you to know, don't just get hung up on people that are in homosexuality. He said, but it's every one of us that is in this room tonight, we must understand that when we cross that line, whatever that sin is that besets you, whatever that sin is that besets me, when I cross that line with it, it ain't going to be long. It's going to destroy my character. It's going to corrupt my character, and everybody will be able to see what's going on. He says tonight, number one, it corrupts the character of a person. It corrupts that character. You've seen people that way. Man, their character, their word was what it said it was. If they told you something, they did it. And when they start getting crossing the line and going deeper in sin, you know what to do? For long, their word ain't no good. But I thought you told me. No. Their word's no good. You can't believe a word they say. When me and my wife first got married, if I told her that whatever I told her, she believed every word of it. It didn't matter. Whatever I told her, she believed it. She took it to the banks, huh? Whatever I told her, she took it to the bank. She believed every word that come out of my mouth. But as my character started turning, and as I got deeper and deeper in sin, my character changed. My pride level got up, and I lied about everything under the sun. I couldn't look her in the face and tell her the truth. I'd lie to her just to be lying. I'd start a fight just to get out of the house. If I fought with her, I could get out and go do what I wanted to do. And when I come back and got what I wanted to do, I'd turn it back on her and make her be the one that was in the wrong. Every time. You see, and as it went on. But then when I got saved, look at this. When I got saved and I gave my life to Jesus, I'd come to her and I'd be telling her the truth and she wouldn't believe me. No, because I lied all them. See, my character, when your character's tore down and it's ripped down and only nobody tears your character down, nobody tears your character down but you and you alone. Nobody's ever tore my character down but me. I tore my own character down by the sinful living that I lived. And when I come back, I'd be like, baby, and she'd be like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So what happened, preacher? When that character got tore down, she didn't believe a thing I said because I was prideful. I was just in a sinful state. But when I got saved, I started coming back up. And God saved me, and I started coming back up. Your character comes up. You can have a good character and be lost. Did you know that? I know some lost people's got good character. But if they tell you something, they're going to do it. And I know some saved people's got awful character. He may be a brother, but don't believe a word he tells you. Don't you believe a word he tells you, because he ain't going to do it. Paul says, let not that be mentioned about you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But as my character started coming back up, there had to be a time to have accountability. I had to have accountability. And Paul said, be careful that you'll corrupt your character. But he said, not only does your character get corrupted, there's a cause and there's corruption on your character, but it corrupts your conduct. Your conduct, your conversation gets corrupted. When your character starts on a decline, your conversation and your conduct's going to get out of control. I know it. You give me somebody's cussing every breath, or just let one slip. There's something going on with their character. Oh, come on, preacher, don't put yourself on a pedestal. I'm not going to. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you what's in the pail, what's in the bucket, it's going to come up. What's in the well will come up in the pail every time. Every time. Every time. You ever seen somebody do good for so long then get mad and have a screaming, cussing fit? That just didn't happen. That was down in there. And all somebody done was agitate it just a little bit. And here it goes. Let me show you this. You say, preacher, you crazy tonight. I'll show you this. I'm talking about tonight when we cross the line. Look what he said. It corrupts the character, but it corrupts the conduct or the conversation of a person. Look what he says. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. But let's get on. Okay, so we know that, but let's get on down here. He says not only it corrupts the character of a person, but look what they become. They become, in verse number 30, disobedient to parents. It corrupts that. There it goes, that conduct. It disobedience to parents, wickedness, envy, murder, and inventors of evil things. He says that conduct, when that character gets corrupt, your conduct will get corrupt. And there'll be things in your mind that won't line up with the Word of God. And we see how that conduct, when that person, that conversation of a person, it gets all wicked and it gets all warped. You say, preacher, what does that do to a person? It turns that natural affection that they have. They don't understand no more what the sin that they're in and how deep they're going when they cross the line. When they cross the line. You ever had somebody say, I'm through with them, they cross the line. You've heard that. When somebody crosses the line with you, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the authority to mark them off? No. He said, the Lord, what about my brother? What about if you offend me? How many times? He said, 70. He said, what about if you come back? 70? How many more? 70 times 7? He said, well, what? He said, you forgive him. There ain't but one person got the authority to wipe it off, and that's God and God alone. So tonight, we don't know who God's gave over. We don't know. Our job is to do this, just to love every individual we come in contact with. We love every one of them. But he says tonight there's a cause and there's corruption that comes. And tonight, the third thing is not only do we see the corruption in our corruption for crossing the line is in our character and our conduct, but this right here spoke to me, Brother Rocky, more than anything. When I crossed the line, the company I kept changed. When I crossed the line, the company I kept changed. I hung around people I used never would have hung around with. Never would have lived that sinful state. Never, in a million years, I wouldn't have done that. I've said it 100 times. I'd have never stole from my mama. I would have never done that. I'd have never done that. I'd have never lied to mama. I'd have never lied to my wife. I'd have never done some things that I'd done. But when I crossed the line and I went a little bit too far, my character started doing a nosedive. My conduct and my conversation started doing it started nosediving. And it wasn't long, the company I kept wasn't the company that I usually kept. You watch somebody by the company they keep. When they're in church and they're sitting on the pew all the time and, man, everything's going, you look at the company they keep. And then you see them the next time and they're out there with that other company that's living for the world. You'll see it ain't going to be long, that line that they're crossing. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go and say, hey, get back over here. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Let me show you this in the Word of God tonight. It corrupts the company a person keeps. Verse number 32. It corrupts the company a person keeps. Look what he says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. He says not only the ones that commit the sin, but the ones that has pleasure in watching them commit it. There's some people won't do what you do, but they like watching you do what you do. There's some people may not do what you do, but they like watching doing what you do. They like watching you mess up. They like watching you failure. They like watching your family be in a failure state. And as I read the Bible tonight, not only the one that's in the sin, but the one that enjoys watching them in the sin is just as guilty. What he says, not only the ones that do the same, not only the ones that are doing it, that's caught up in that sinful state, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only the ones that's doing it, but the ones that has pleasure in the ones that doing it. Hey, what you're doing is okay. It's all right. Just keep living. You're doing fine. Let me give you this tonight. Corrupts the company a person keeps. Pleasures with the wrong crowd. Covenant breakers. Let me give you this. That keeping the wrong crowd, the pleasures with the wrong crowd, they're covenant breakers, full of debate, without understanding, worthy of death. Not only the one that's doing it, but the one that's okay with them that do it. We have no idea, I wrote this down, if God has turned someone over to a reprobate mind. So our job is to pray for that person and ask God not to turn them over to a reprobate mind. I believe tonight that every person that's breathing has hope. I believe tonight every person that's breathing has hope. They've not went too far. They can be saved. I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. Me and another individual went to a home one day and witnessed to a man. In the floor in front of his recliner on her knees with the King James Bible, witnessing to him, pouring her heart out, squalling. He was squalling, tears flowing. And we was telling him, man, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be. Hey, man, what about giving your heart to Jesus? I said, man, I know you're under conviction. I know God's working on your heart because you're crying. There's got to be something tearing that heart up. And when he finally got his composure, he quit crying and he wiped tears away. He said, nah, I ain't under conviction. I have been under conviction before, though. But God's turned me over to a reprobate mind. He said that pull and that draw that drawed me for years, wanting me to be saved, he just kept on. He said, I've never had that again. He said, it's been years since I had that. I've never had it again. Everything you're telling me there, I know it's in that book. But that draw is not there. He said, you can go ahead and get up because it ain't there. And I got up astonished, blown away. Blown away. I was like, you're kidding me. You are kidding me. We prayed with the man and left. About 3 days later, he died. I don't know. I don't know what happened in between that time and that time. I pray God come back and convicted that heart. But tonight I do know this, that as long as there's conviction, amen. Woo! Glory to that old nitpicker. As long as he's nitpicking, that lost man ain't been turned over. As long as he's nitpicking that lost man, he's not been turned over. Folks, tonight it's not our job to see if they've been turned over or try to judge them and see if they've been turned over. Our job is to win them to Jesus Christ. Our job is to tell them that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight I want you to know on the authority of God's word tonight that there's lines in our life that we cross that'll tear up a relationship. It's torn, won't work no more. There's lines that's been drawn. Once you cross that line, ain't nothing you can do about it. But I want you to know tonight, through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's one way that a man, woman, a boy, or girl know they've not crossed the line. And that's that. Not only their cause, and not only is there that corruption, but there's conviction. There's conviction. There's conviction in that life. And you know well as I do, when you see an individual, you know when they're under conviction. They'll get under conviction. because God is the one who does the convicting. Tonight, I want to share this with you. When you go to Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1, if you just read that right there, it tells you and it tells me, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? Tonight, there's only one person that I'm responsible for tonight of not crossing the line, and that's me. That's me tonight. That's me. That's me. Has your spouse ever told you, hey, you crossed the line, you don't went too far? You shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. You know what? God tells us the same thing. See, you crossed the line. Tonight, if you think, preacher, I crossed the line, there is no hope. I'm going to say tonight, there's hope if there's still conviction in your life. There's hope tonight for anybody that's crossed the line. That God would bring that individual back, restore them, renew what's been broken in their life, set a fire down inside of them tonight. This message may not mean a whole lot to a lot of folks in this room until you've crossed the line. Until you've crossed the line. And if you've never crossed the line, you don't know what it is to walk back on the other side of the line. You don't know. But when you're the one that's crossed the line, you know how sweet it is to be forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I love you and I thank you. Father, I thank you tonight that there's a cause that comes in our life. If we're not careful, we'll be under the wrong influence. Instead of listening to you, we'll be listening to Satan. Father, we'll let him destroy us and distort our mind and our being. Father, we know tonight when we go down that line and we start crossing over and doing things that's not right, our character gets corrupted, our conduct, our conversation. It won't be long, we won't be keeping company where we used to keep, but we'll be staying with the wrong crowd and doing the wrong things. Father, tonight, I pray if there's one in this room tonight that's been in that place in their life, I pray tonight would be a night that conviction would fall. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Father, the loved ones that we have that might be living in a sinful state, I'd pray tonight you convict their heart. Lord, I'd pray they turn to you before it's eternally too late. Lord, I'm not perfect. Never claim to be, never will claim to be. I know tonight what it is to be convicted, to have a Holy Ghost conviction, to have a Holy Ghost draw. Lord, tonight, every person, if they be honest in this room, they know what it is when you step over that line and that Holy Ghost starts convicting you. Lord, I pray tonight that you guard our heart and guard everything about us. Watch over us tonight. Watch our mouth. Let it be all about you and not about us. Father, I know tonight you wrote the book of Romans for us as well. And that we get to a place, Father, we search our own heart. And we make sure we don't fall for anything, but we stand on the Word of God. Father, tonight I beg and I plead you'd save the lost. In Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen.